Now, in Proverbs 31, verse 10, it says, "An excellent wife, who can find? Her worth is far above jewels." Now, the phrase "an excellent wife" translates the Hebrew phrase "eshet chayil," and that phrase was first used with regard to Ruth. It's also used of Boaz, by the way, as a noble man. But it's used of Ruth, who, according to Ruth 3:11, is described as a woman of excellence. In the NASB, in the Holman Christian Standard, she's described as a woman of noble character. Now, when I read Proverbs 31, if you go back to Proverbs 31:1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel." Now, a lot of scholars debate over who is this Lemuel fellow. I think it's Solomon. I think it was a nickname from the mother to the son. I don't know what it means, but she called him King Lemuel. He's a king. Solomon seems to fit it. "The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his," what? "Mother taught him." So what you're reading in Proverbs 31 is really what Solomon learned from mom. Now, what's interesting here is this phrase, "eshet chayil," that's translated here in Proverbs 31:10 of an excellent wife, was used of Ruth. And I've got here in the notes that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David, who married Bathsheba, who is perhaps the one who shared her wisdom with Solomon. I say perhaps because we can't be dogmatic, but that seems to be the case. Now, if this is correct, then it's possible that Bathsheba saw in Ruth a template for the woman of noble character. In other words, she read about the family line. She marries David, and then she starts learning about the family line. And then she goes back and she reads about this woman, this great-grandmother by the name of Ruth. And so she begins to spend some time, and she studies on this person of Ruth. Now, I spent a couple hours going through Ruth and looking at some of her characteristics. And a study of the book of Ruth, I'm giving you a snapshot here, reveals that she was committed to God and to his people, that she possessed a strong work ethic, that she listened to good advice, that she showed respect to others, that she cared for the needy, that she sought to marry a noble man, and was praised for her excellence and love for others. Now, I've given you all the scripture references there, and I would encourage you to chase those down. But I think in that description of Ruth there, we have a picture of the Proverbs 31 woman. And let me read through Proverbs 31, 10 and following, and then we'll come back and we'll hit a quick summary of it. So Proverbs 31, 10, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels." In other words, she's very valuable. She's very precious. Notice verse 11. "The heart of her husband trusts in her." Now, what we're going to see about the excellent wife is that she's a very smart woman. And she manages her the household finances. She cares for the servants. She cares for her family. She's a businesswoman. She buys a field. She cultivates it. She works with her hands, so she's not afraid to get her hands dirty. She's willing to get down and do the work herself. She leads from the front, not from the top. She's among the workers. But she's very smart in how she shops. But her husband trusts in her to handle the house affairs, the finances, and he benefits from her. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. In other words, by marrying her, his assets are going to go up because she's going to handle his finances, and she's going to invest in land, and she's going to work, and she's going to buy products, and she's going to make things with her hand, and she's going to sell it, and she's going to sell some really high-end stuff. She's going to be known for her work. And so he not only trusts in her, but he will have no lack of gain because she's going to help develop the household. So she benefits him in many ways. And remember that this is the ideal woman. This is the excellent woman. There's many noble women, but this woman excels them all, we're going to see by the time we get to the end of the chapter. And I've never met a Proverbs 31 woman. Just like I've never met a man who is perfect like Christ, but the standard is still high, isn't it? The bar is still high. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She does him good. She pursues his good and not evil. She doesn't seek to harm him all the days of her life. And she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She delights to work and to work with her hands. And she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Well, what's the idea of that? That she's willing to find the best for her family. This is a woman who understands nutrition. And she understands the value of a good meal. And she brings her food from afar. In other words, she's willing to search to find the best. She's a smart shopper, we might say. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night. So being a good woman, she sets her alarm clock. And she gets up. And she gives food to her household. And even portions to her maidens. So she's even willing to serve her servants. Isn't that interesting? A lot there. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. So she's got business sense. And she's willing. She's brave, isn't she? She's willing to venture out. She can go out and she can size up a field, and she says, that field is worth something, and that's a good price that is being put upon it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. What earnings? Well, the earnings that she got from the work that she did with her hands. So she works and she makes a profit, and then she takes that profit and she makes an investment, which is going to result in greater profit. So this is a woman who knows how to take a little, and over time she develops her finances and she knows how to invest. She's got a good finance mind. She's got a real estate mind. But she's got a servant's heart. And she's faithful and she's committed. I mean, this woman, wow, right? I mean, she's just the way she's being portrayed here. So she considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Men used to gird up their loins, gird up their clothing to prepare themselves for battle or for work in the field because they had to free up their lower legs. And this is the idea that she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So she becomes strong through her effort, that she's not afraid again to work. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. We might say she's a capitalist. She appreciates making a profit. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. In other words, she's willing to work as long as the profit is being made. Because profits don't last forever. You have points where you can have a period of success, and then something happens economically. The nation goes to war, a famine, you know, something happens. So you capitalize on what you have. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. So she not only makes the yarn, but she also weaves it together to make the fabrics. And what does she do with her profits? Well, what happens when a lot of people become wealthy? Well, they sit back and they go on vacations and they spend it all on themselves and they buy nice things and they live this opulent life. That's the way of the world, isn't it? What does she do with her profits? Notice verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Listen, that is a godly mind because it realizes that profits are not for merely self-consumption. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't enjoy nice things. This woman's going to dress in scarlet. She's going to take care of herself. She has a sense of self-worth and she dresses nicely. Okay? But at the same time, she realizes that her profits, the things that she does, the work that she does, is to be extended to the poor and the needy. That's a godly mind. She understands the needy and she cares for them. She open-handed is the idea, that she's very open-handed towards the poor and the needy. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. In other words, they're dressed in appropriate attire to prepare them for the cold weather. This is a woman who plans. She's prepared for the future. She plans for the future and she prepares for the weather. Verse 22, she makes coverings for herself and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, this tells me that this is a woman of wealth. Now, we can't all dress in purple. We all can't dress in regal in the finest attire. But we can dress to the finest of our ability. And you know what else this says? This says that she cares about herself and her image. Because listen, her husband is going to be a man in the community who's going to be serving at the gate, which is where the nobles met to judge matters and to help the poor and to make decisions. So her husband is going to have a prominent role. And she is obviously going to dress to help promote her husband. She's not going to be a hindrance to him. Remember, she seeks his good and not his evil all the days of her life. So how she presents herself says not only that she cares about herself, but she cares about her husband's image. She doesn't want to be a hindrance to him. So she is. So she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So her husband is a nobleman, and he serves in a noble capacity, and she wants to help promote that. She wants to, because they're a team. And remember that he trusts her. He trusts in her to manage the house and the affairs and the servants and the children and the finances. I mean, you talk about a man that really trusts his wife. He has complete confidence in her. So her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the trademen. So here she has this home job, as it were, where she makes these products that she sells to tradesmen. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. So not only does she dress in fine attire, but now what are we talking about? We're talking about her inner character. She dresses herself with these characteristics, strength and dignity are her clothing, and catch this, and she smiles at the future. She smiles at the future. Why does she smile at the future? Because she's not afraid. She's not afraid of the future. You see, she can smile at the future rather than being afraid of the future. She can smile at the future because this is a woman who is walking with God. She is developing the qualities and the characteristics of a godly woman. That strength and dignity are her clothing, and she can smile at the future because this is a woman who prepares. Verse 26, now we get more of her character. She opens her mouth in wisdom. And boy, the whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom, isn't it? She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Well, wisdom, chokmah, that's taking truth and giving it everyday application to life. Kindness, from the Hebrew word chesed, this love, the idea of the highest form of loyal love. So she opens her mouth in wisdom so that what she has to say to people is to their edification, it's to their benefit, to their building up. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. There's an attractive quality about her speech that others appreciate, that marks her. So not only are strength and dignity are her clothing, but she smiles at the future. And she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. Again, focusing back on the household. And does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she doesn't just sit around and do nothing. This is a woman who is occupied. She's busy with her time. She capitalizes on her time. She makes the most of her time. She manages her time well. And her workload, she stretches it out. Again, this is all within her ability. And everybody's ability is a little different, but she operates within her ability and she manages her time. So what's the end result? Verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, what's going on here? Well, when they stand up, when they rise up, this is a show of respect. I think of the old manners, and you don't see it much today, but you remember the old movies, especially the old cowboys, that when a lady walked into a room, all the men did what? They stood up. And if they had hats on, well, their hats came off. Why? A show of respect. And so the children here rise up and they bless her. They recognize, they stand up as it were to recognize and to praise her for what she's doing. her husband also. He praises her. And what are his words? What does he say? He says, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. So listen, there's a lot of very noble women in the world, but this one, she's the top. Now, it could be that just in for him, he's like, look, there's a lot of noble women out there, but you are the one that makes me show. You are the one that when we come together, nobody else is going to fit that role. You are the one. You are the one that excels them all. So it could be in a very personal sense that he says this. Okay? So many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. And then he closes out here. He says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Charm can be deceiving to others, but it doesn't have the ability of endurance. Just like beauty. Beauty is what? Is vain, from the Hebrew verb havel, which means like a mist or a vapor, like the steam that comes off a coffee. It seems to have a substance to it, but when you grasp at it, there's nothing there. And so the idea of charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, these are outward things of attractiveness. And by the way, this is the way of the world. The world will accentuate the externals, the body, the physical beauty, the charm. But what is being advertised here, not so much advertised, but what is being promoted here is the inner qualities, virtue. And by the way, as a parent, you can instill this, if you have a daughter, into your daughters, of what virtue looks like. I mean, you could spend literally hours and weeks just going through this and flushing this out. And you can also teach your sons what to look for in a godly woman. And so we get to the heart of verse 30 here. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, within the context here, clearly she's praised by her children, and clearly she's praised by her husband. I think one could even make the case that she's praised by people in the community because of how she lives, because of her work ethic, because of her wisdom, because of her kindness, because of her extending her hand to the poor and the needy. I think a case could even be made for that. But this fear of the Lord, that is what drives her. Her respect for the Lord, her esteem for the Lord, is what drives her to be this woman of virtue, this woman of excellence. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. There's that community aspect. So let me read through this and then we'll be done here in just a second. So closing out here on page 4. And this is just a quick summary of everything we went through. According to Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, the excellent wife is precious to her husband. He trusts her. He says it is said that she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She delights to work with her hands, knowing she is providing for the good of her family. She's a smart shopper, a savvy businesswoman who is recognized for her work. She uses her time well, is energetic and strong, cares for the poor and needy, provides for those in her household, and does not neglect her own needs or appearance. As she is respected in the home, her husband is respected in the community, and both he and her children give praise for her dignity. She has an optimistic outlook on life, as strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She is also noted for her wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She is the ideal wife, for though many women have done nobly, she excels them all. And what makes this woman so excellent? What drives her to possess all the virtues of a godly woman for which her husband praises her? Solomon tells us, it's not her personal charm, which is deceitful, nor her physical beauty, which is fleeting. Rather, it's because she is a woman who fears the Lord. This one shall be praised by all who know and appreciate her godliness. What is prioritized is the inner qualities of godliness and virtue that make for an enjoyable, stable, and lasting marriage. And so Proverbs 31 was my main text there. But let me read a few other passages. So other qualities and features of godly women are as follows. 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 12 says, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or pearls or costly garments. That's not to say that you don't enjoy nice things, but rather, in other words, by contrast, by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to what? Godliness. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. And then Paul says, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. And he's talking about within the context of the church. Titus 2, 4 through 6, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands. And so women do teach, but here it's to the young women, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Lastly, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 6 says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, and are they? Yeah, we do. We mess it. So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, the braiding of the hair and the wearing of gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear.